Blog Talk Radio.
Rah. Killer Mike Bamboo. You already know. Yeah. No surprise, I'm from a gangbang culture, but we can keep it civil or pull a thang-thang on ya. Southern California where the sun don't quit, intergenerational gang so sons don't quit. But immediately you see that the problems that's in my city are secondary to what's propelling it in my city. I mean really break it down, take poor black and brown, educate them poor, take the jobs from out the town, then inundate them with the date of drugs and dumb TV, locked into a zoo and hunted daily by the police. Then you get a group of youth who know they don't belong, then they gather up and organize a number up strong. But see, the failure isn't seeing that the problem ain't the gang, it's the situation in the communities where we hang. So I'm so pro-gang, it might scare a motherfucker, cause I fix the misconception that the enemies are brothers.
Bang on the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, upset the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, bang on the setup, homie, we been set up.
I tell them, I went from a street gang thing, then I joined a military fleet marine force thing. From a little bitty gang in the south of Los Angeles to dragging bodies out of their house to help a government who hell bent on keeping money spent on the missile. The reality's the difference between them shits is little. We had the objective of arming up over money, and they had the objective of arming up over money. And we told kids, join us, we the truth. Lies about protecting our black to get recruits. Then we found out we getting killed for a hood, and we don't own a single speck of dirt on that hood. Whether in a zone down south in Decatur, or in a flatlands off of Lenox and La Brea, or in a low-rise project in Chicago, big money come in and buy up our body.
So your sets up, we about to upset the setup.
We about to upset the setup.
Up to upset the setup.
Throw your sets up, we about to upset the setup.
Upset the setup.
Up to upset the
I
setup.
I do it for the Crips and the Blooders. BGF brothers, the real Freeway Ricky Ross and Chris Dutter. I do my thing for Hoover, I represent for Fort. So my folk and my people, so they set to support. Supporting me to Matthew, she might say the shot. So maybe next summer, no mama's gotta cry. Cause maybe next summer, nobody gotta die. Hell, even if we fail, somebody gotta try. The only way the system rule is somebody gotta lie. And the lie they told is old, they base it on your race. They separate you black, you brown, you yellow and white face. Then we further separate by joining gangs and legislate. That our neighborhoods are now at war like we are separate states. So the police occupy our hood to keep down all the drama. So the Starbucks they just built is comfortable for soccer mama. And American Apparel comfortable for all the hipsters. And it's zero tolerance for all you spicks and you niggas and you chinks and you crackers. And it ain't about who's whiter and it ain't about who's blacker, but the money is a factor. And the factor is the factories got moved up out the hood. When starvation is present and absent is a job, a man will simply starve or he will form a mob. If you should form a mafia, then you should think civilian. Buy the hood for real, every block, every building, every build, every build. Feed the chill, feed the chill, gang bang, gang bang. Build, build, feed the chill, feed the chill, feed the chill, feed the chill, gang bang, gang bang. On the system, on the system.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it.
cost you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dordan from DVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Free the land. Revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the crew mentality to the new African mentality. That's what education means. The fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal, prepare new African prison for belief, produce new African citizenship. Our overall goal is to transform the entire pre-industrial slave complex into the prison system, to the big institution of learning, to the biggest institution of learning. Before I bring in our guests tonight, I'll go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On January 27, 1793, Benjamin Banneker, helped lay the layout of Washington, D.C. He was the architect. 1883, U.S. Supreme Court refused to allow Congress to criminalize acts of the terrorist organization, the KKK, and U.S. versus Harris. In 1935, Sam Cooke, songwriting performer, born. In 1942, Forging Best Revival opened at the Majestic Theater on Broadway with Todd Duncan and Anne Brown in the leading roles. Brown lifted cats in 1942 and was defeated later by Peter Motor. In 1981, Samuel Pierce was named Secretary of Housing and Urban Development by Ronald Reagan. January 23, 1943, Duke Ellington, Black, Brown, and Beige, first successful extended jazz composition, premiered at Carnegie Hall. Ellington said that the 57-minute long work was a tone parallel to the history of the American Negro. In 1962, demonstrations against discrimination and off-campus housing staged by students at the University of Chicago. But last on January 23rd to February 5th, CORE charged that the university operate segregated apartment houses. In 1977, Roots TV miniseries premieres on HBO. 1993, Thomas A. Dorsey, the father of gospel music, Chicago, at age 93. January 24th, Arthur H. Schomburg, historian, educator, archiver, born in 1885. Martin Arthur Laney, politician, pioneer, black nationalist, died in Wilberforce, Ohio, at the age of 72. 1987, 20,000 black and white marchers state massive protest march in Forsyth County, Georgia. Also on this date, on January 24th, it is the born of Elder Jesus Adiku, who won the co-founder of Black August while in solitary prison. On January 25th, 1890, the National African American League, a pioneer black protest organization, was founded in Chicago. 1938, Elder Jones, award-winning singer, born. 1972, Representative Shirley Chisholm opened her unsuccessful campaign for president. 1985, Bernard H. Goetz, a white man accused of shooting four youths in New York on a New York subway, and died of a minor charge of illegal possession of a weapon. The case triggered a national controversy. 1995, Kenny Chenault named American Express Vice Chairman, higher position held by a new African in a white corporate setting to date. On January 26, 1863, responding to rise demands for emancipation and a proposed bill that would have required the president to use new African troops, the War Department authorized the Massachusetts government to recruit new African troops. The 54 Massachusetts Volunteers were the first new African regiment recruited in the North. 1870, Congress admitted Virginia to the Union on condition that it would never change the Constitution to disenfranchise new Africans. 1911, Johnny Carbone. He's a longtime civil rights activist who led the Montgomery Improvement Association in Alabama for decades. She helped spearheaded a 381-day bus boycott after Rosa Parks' arrest. Johnny Carr. Okay. Dire anti-lynching bill was passed the House by a vote of 230-119, but was killed in the Senate by a filibuster. In 1944, Angela Davis was born, former political prisoner. Also in that year, I go back to 1935, Professor Ivan Sederman was born, who was a historian, a linguist, anthropologist. On January 27, 1865, the first Southern black news black paper, The Color of America, was founded. In 1869, William Marion Cook Capozzo was born. 1961, soprano Lilton Price debuts at the Metropolitan Opera. In 1972, gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who moved gospel to the mainstream, died in Chicago at the age of 60. In 1992, U.S. Supreme Court limited reach of 1965 Voting Rights Act. In 1997, Louis E. Mar, advisor to the president and one of the founders of the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, died in Orange County, California, at the age of 84. Okay, on January 28, 1901, Richmond Barr, a sculptor, was born. In 1986, the space shuttle Challenger exploded shortly after lift. Ronald Monaro, a new astrophysicist, and six other astronauts were killed. You know, those were events that happened in history during this week. But you know, there were more. You know, so the show must go on. Now, I'd like to welcome to the show tonight, Brother Mungu Amin. I'm about to open the brother line up right quick. Hold on, let me open the brother line up. Hold on. Pretty lying, brother.
First and foremost, I want to give thanks to the Almighty Ancestors for the blessings of life here for Scrub. I want to give thanks for my sanity and being able to hold on to it for as long as I have. Secondly, I want to thank you for having me on the show to speak about the prison movement in South Carolina and my involvement in it. Third, I want to thank my comrades of the Free South Carolina movement, my comrades, my family, friends, and supporters of the Free South Carolina movement for joining the call. Last but not least, I want to thank all the brothers and sisters who make up the New African Independence Movement for keeping the movement alive. Long live the resistance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate that, brother. I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast. I just want to say and thank you for the work you've been doing. You know, before we get into it, tell the people about yourself, man. Before we get into it, tell the people about yourself.
Well, I'm a 34-year-old brother of struggle, captured New African citizen, from born and raised in the state of South Carolina. I've been incarcerated or captured for 16 years now. The crime I've committed, I pretty much spazzed out in the black community. But since being incarcerated, I've redeemed myself. I've been working on myself, becoming the best version of me so that I can teach, you know, others around me, my family, and I can teach in my community and help other brothers like yourself and the sisters online to build a nation.
True indeed. Okay. This is what I want to ask you. First thing I want to ask you, what the starting point for you that began your journey to transform your mentality from criminal mentality to revolutionary. What was the starting point? What started it?
Well, being locked down in the dorm, and being locked down in Chesterfield about 2 years straight, I would get on the vent and I would talk crazy about what I'm going to do to people when the doors open. And there was this brother named, he was a part of the 5% nation. And he gave me a book. He would get on the bench and he would agitate me or whatever. And he challenged me to read this book. The name of the book was called The Black Sun Rising. after I read that book, you know, I kind of never thought the same afterwards. It started there.
Okay. From reading that book, right? What type of understanding did it give you in regards to dealing with the people in your environment? What was something key in that book that told you need to change your mind? What was it about that book?
The way I thought and the way what I got from the book is the way I thought and the way I felt about people based off of their actions and stuff like that was pretty much it was backwards. And the acts that I was committing in my community was Klan action, mob violence against my own people.
Okay. That's understood. I see that you're involved in various things within the system, like the Rastafari movement. You said you're a lead organizer of the Umoja Apartment. Tell us more about the Umoja Apartment. What exactly is that, the Umoja Apartment? What is that?
Well, as we know, Umoja is Swahili for unity. That department is pretty much, I don't want to say where it all began or whatever, but it's where we deal with conversations like agreements and hostilities. We organize the Warriors for Justice conference call through that department. That's what the Umoja department consists of, just various brothers coming together, various brothers as part of the Free South Carolina movement coming together, and just discussing what's going on across the state, you know, and just coming up with different strategies and things that we could use to get brothers to come together, so we can educate brothers and transform the prison mentality into a revolutionary mentality.
Indeed. You know, I heard you mention the end of hostility agreement. I know that the first time I heard that would come out of the California prison, the end of hostility agreement. Where everybody who was in the shoe came together, right? Upon hearing about that, the in-house hearing agreement in California, did it encourage you or inspire you to want to do the same thing, or you and your comrades, or what was the situation with that? How did that come about? And what does your in-house hearing agreement look like?
Okay, respect. Well, you know, the agreement in hostility came after the state orchestrated fratricide of the seven brothers at Lee County. You know, we came together. We was having conversations about, you know, what was going on and what could be done. You know,
okay.
And I'm not sure exactly who came up with the idea of an agreement in hostility or a ceasefire or whatever, but that's what we began, you know, working on. We began to reach out to different brothers as part of street-based formations of some of the most influential brothers. We began to get them together, have conversations, you know, ask them what they thought about, you know, a ceasefire, if they could accept it, you know, how, you know, if they would accept it, you know, what would it look like for them, and how could we work together in order to get this thing in place?
Go ahead.
Respect. Our agreement in hostility, we draw a line of demarcation. We draw a line and we say, there's two sides of this line. Either you're an enemy of the state or you're an enemy of the people. And we define the enemy of the state as anybody who is constantly engaging to overcome oppression. And we define an enemy of the people is anybody who goes against, you know, what we're striving to do, and that's overcome oppression. Anybody who's in our community oppressing our people, that's the enemy of the people.
Yes, sir. You know, I also got a couple of a couple of your comrades, some of the co-founders are on as well. I'm going to open their line up also. But hold up right quick. My next question is, what actually drawn you to the New African Independent Movement? Why did you become the new? Why did you make the decision to become a conscious New African citizen? What drew it to you for you to do so?
Well, to me it just made sense. It made sense. You know, it started with me sending mass messages in the morning, sending mass messages to everybody or whatever. And these messages, I was Grand Rising New African Family. You know, and I think I sent the message to you. I sent a message to you, and you asked me a question. You was like, what do you know about the new African Independence Movement? And I knew nothing about it. You know, and we went back and forth in messages, and you sent me some information or whatever. And once I read, you know, the creed, the oath, I said, yeah, this me. This I can accept this. This is, I can live for this. You know, and I continued to educate myself on the New African Independence Movement. I read the Supreme Law, which is the Code of Umoja. You know, I continued to educate, you know, I would educate brothers around me about the New African Independence Movement. You know, they would motivate me to learn more so I could share more with them. And that's just kind of how it happened, Conrad.
True, indeed, true, and it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm glad I had something to do with it, man. It's a good thing, man. It's a good thing. You know, hold on. I'm about to open a line up for your comrade too. When I with the next question, hold up. Okay, hold on, right quick. Hold on, let's see. Okay. Okay, brother Keely, your line is over. You there, brother? You there, Brother Akilah?
Free to learn.
By any means, sir.
Free to learn, okay. Oh.
Yes, sir. By any means, sir. Hold on. I'm about to open an email number. Hold on. Let me find it right quick, man. No, I seen a brother on here. Hold up. Free to learn, Amy. You there, brother? Yes, sir. Free land, brother. You there?
I see.
Okay, okay. Okay, I want to ask you a question while y'all on the line, right? Tell me about the origin of Free South Carolina. How did it come about? You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to take turns talking about it. How did it come about from y'all own perspective? You know, y'all going to take turns. You know, we start at Mungo, then we go from there.
Well, we take the position that the Free South Carolina movement started when the first brother and the first sisters strike out against oppression in the state of South Carolina. And the earliest reference that we have to that is the Stonewall Rebellion. That's September 9, 1739. That's when the Free South Carolina movement started. But in this form, you know, it started under the banner that we organized under 9 or whatever. It started a little after, you know, the state orchestrated fratricide of the brothers at Lee County.
Okay.
That's from my perspective.
Okay. Okay. Akilah and Mimi, y'all brother, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Akilah, go ahead. Tell me your perspective.
Indeed, comrade. Or as the comrade Mungo touched on, being behind enemy lines for decades and being politicized behind these walls through various different platforms, brothers developed a sense of camaraderie, comradeship, and as brothers was growing and developing at different levels, we utilize the Rastafarian community sort of like as an umbrella to where all different street-based organizations, various different brothers from the conscious communities would gather to share information, to criticize one another, to further one another's development. And throughout the years, brothers saw that to take the initiative to also, we had our own form of agreements to eliminate hostilities within South Carolina. And these are things that we have always practiced amongst each other. And just to give you a little background to the state orchestrated fratricide, April 15, 2018, of the massacre that transpired at Lee, the most of the leaders of the street-based organizations were shipped out of state to Mississippi or various different other locations. Our brothers with influence were removed from that particular plantation. So you had a lot of younger brothers who were still there within those cell blocks. Therefore, that was one of the elements that how that was able to take place. I tell brothers all the time that if certain brothers are still there at that plantation at that particular time, that situation could have been redirected. So that's how we feel like it was state orchestrated. But upon the on the backdrop of that, of the massacre, brothers came together because it was brothers that we knew personally that lost their lives or were injured or had some type of involvement. So it affected brothers that directly and indirectly are reaching out, talking to various different family members about what took place. They lost their loved one, or their loved one was injured, or their loved one had some form of involvement. So we automatically felt a need to come together and to create some type of platform to prevent that from ever happening and transpiring again. And we feel that we were successfully able to do that with the formation of the Free South Carolina Movement. So that would, I would say, would be the birth of the Free South Carolina Movement. But as the brother Mungo touched on, I mean, it's always been a movement for liberation since the first African was transgressed upon here in the state of South Carolina. Respect.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. True indeed.
True indeed. Ashe,
brother. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Just well, those my comrades pretty much gave most of the information. I just want to touch on a couple of points. Number one, yes, you're absolutely correct in that we did study the California agreement, the end hostilities, as we study all of our great leaders and great movements and our story, you know, over the course of time. In order to see how we can apply that to our situation and advance it. So, yes, we did study the movement, the agreement to end hostilities movement from California. We took it, we adopted it, and we worked it to fit our conditions here in South Carolina. With our struggle for unity and in the fratricide, and it was working very well, I must say. during that time in South Carolina, at the time of the state orchestrated fratricide at the Lee Plantation, the loss of so many of our brothers' lives at the time grew national and global attention, so much so that you had a lot of movements, organizations, so-called leaders and spokespersons running to South Carolina for many different reasons, you know, whether it's political or just, you know, the attention. And we were able to visibly see that because we've been boots on the ground well before the state orchestrated fratricide from plantation to plantation. One of those things that happened at the plantation, they adopted some programs. And one of the programs they adopted or they implemented, shall I say, was a political ploy to usurp the momentum and of the work that we were putting in on the ground. Dealing directly with the street-based organizations, dealing directly with the brothers that were involved, that particular program they implemented was kind of like a Band-Aid on a gaping wound when we were doing, you know, the real surgical work. But that's how diabolical the system is, and that's how deep things run. Whether you on the political level, community level, you know, so on and so forth. So from the time the state orchestrated fratricide was in April 2018, and our official launch, we began to mobilize, we began to organize, and the official launch of the FSCM was August 21st, 2018. Of course, August 21st is the day of General the Black Dragon, George Lester Jackson. So we chose that particular date to be the official launch publicly for the Free South Carolina movement. And on that day, it's well documented. If you go to Google search or other news outlets, that we had our people approach the state house, approach the governor's office, right in front of the governor's office, matter of fact, and present our statewide demands for to change the prison conditions and ultimately our call to freedom. So, you know, to answer your question as far as you know, how things got started, that's what happened.
Okay. But I want to ask another question before I do that, is everybody in the Free South Carolina country a citizen, or if it's just everybody had their own particular ideology? Is everybody country a citizen? What the take on that in particular? Let's start with Mungo. Who I want to ask the question in particular?
Question again, my brother.
Okay, Freeland. What I said. Is everybody in the Free South Carolina movement continue average citizen, or it's a mixture of different things?
For for the most part, yes. Conscious new African citizens, for the most part, yes. Understand what a new African citizen is. I don't know if your audience understands what that actually is, but for us, yes, that's, we can say yes.
Okay. Now, I know we're on the demands mission. For the people who listen, can you tell them more about the demands? Can you expound more about the demands? Can all y'all talk about the demands? Start going to start with Mungu first, talking about some of the demand, then we're going to pass it around.
Okay, well, we got our demands. We got, like, I want to say it's like 9 or 10 demands. I don't know them verbatim. I know that one of them is immediate improvement to conditions of prison and prison policies that recognize the humanity of imprisoned men and imprisoned women. Another one is to immediate end to prison slavery. All persons in prison in any place of captivity must be paid the prevailing wages for their labor. The third one is immediate passing of the House Bill 5155, supporting rescission of the 1944 Violent Crime Control Act and tougher violent crime provision adopted by the state of South Carolina.
Okay. Any other brothers want to talk about the other demand? Some of the other demands, you're free to do so. You know what I'm saying? To lighten people by the demands.
Respect.
Yes, sir.
To add on to the Conrad Mungo, one of our demands was to eliminate the usage of the STG or security threat group label that SCDC officials like to utilize to single out certain prisoners, or to put that label on them, to have them move to a particular plantation or a particular housing unit. This label is placed on them so that administration can view them as a threat, and most are not even gang affiliated. It's just a label or stigmatization that they like to place on prisoners who are striving to raise the political and conscious level of those who are in the population by way of ordering certain books, striving to organize fellow prisoners, fellow comrades within the cell blocks, pushing to change conditions, various different things of that nature. That prisoner based upon the work that he's doing can be given that stigmatizing label. So that was also one of our demands, to have that that practice put to an end by SCDC officials. Respect.
No, we can hear you now.
Okay. Damn. You know what's going on? What I was saying, I said, Keita, you have anything else to add on to that? To what the brother said about the demand?
Definitely, that was me. That was Conrad Keita that just finished speaking.
Okay.
I mean, but just also the conditions in which we're still under, within these plantations, such as the blocking of the windows, whereas the brothers are unable to receive natural sunlight, and they're housed within these cells for weeks at a time, barely coming out to get a shower. Food is just pushed through a hole in the door, what is known as a flap. The degree of the food that is being served are not nutritional. The abandonment of the shortage of staff is widespread throughout SCDC. So whereas you may not even see an officer on a night shift all night. So you basically have prisoners who are left to fend for themselves. Or if someone's having a medical emergency, there's no officer even in the building. You may have one officer working four or five different posts. So if a brother is having a medical emergency, if he's not able to get on his tablet and to call his family so his family can call to the prison, strive to get him some help. There's no officer that is anywhere in sight.
Damn.
So these were some of the things that we were striving to bring light and attention to, because we have several brothers who have lost their lives in that manner because there was no officer on post in order to aid and assist his brother who was having a medical emergency. So those are also a part of the conditions that we were living under and doing our time under. You know, we already were punished by the judge. So therefore, and that wasn't a sentence to death. So a brother shouldn't die because there's not an officer anywhere in sight. That's a security violation, and there's several of those all throughout the Department of Corrections of South Carolina. Respect.
Respect.
Our brother heard?
No, we can't hear you, Conrad. What you say?
What I was saying, can y'all tell me what y'all names mean, starting with you?
I got Mungo derived from Kiswahili. Mungu in Swahili means wise man or God. So I took the U off of it, and I added the O on the end of it, and to me it means wise man. Amin, I got from my spiritual father. He said it means intimate friend. So Mungo Amin is wise man, intimate friend.
Okay. Okay. All two brothers can go ahead. Akili, Eman, y'all can go ahead.
Yes, M-E-O-B-I-S, from the Yoruba language, it's a statement that says, I'm a king.
Okay.
What's that?
No doubt.
Yeah, I wanted to add on that your listeners the Free South Carolina Movement social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, can see some of the conditions that's posted there, some of the conditions that the brothers were speaking about. You can see some of the conditions there posted on the pages.
Okay. No doubt. Brother Keith, you still there?
Respect, brother. I want to answer your question. As far as Akili is Swahili for understanding. One who has understanding, one who has insight, eyesight, and foresight. Asafo is from the Akan people of Ghana. The word derives from Sa, meaning war, and Fo, meaning people, to go to war for the people. That's what an Asafo is. That's what Asafo does. Respect.
True indeed. You know, when people see the initials FSCM, right? They see that free part. Is it interconnected to the Free Alabama Movement, the Free Mississippi Movement, or is it just something that y'all just happen to have had that free part in it, or they're ready to connect it? Or do you have an association with those movements in particular?
Yes, sir. When we were organizing and coming up with the name for the movement, the comrades in Alabama had already started their movement. I also want to send love and respect to the comrades in Georgia that had sparked off a movement some years before that, if anybody remembers that. But, yeah.
The Pops movement or what movie are you talking about?
Somebody in Georgia?
Yeah, you're talking about the Pops movement?
When the maximum security, I think it was like 3 or 4 of the maximum security prisons pretty much laid down and went on strike.
Okay.
They were able to organize that. And if I'm not mistaken, the sister from the Black Panther Party assisted with that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. You see somebody, Elaine Brown. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. Queen Mother Elaine Brown. Yes. All right. So definitely wanted to salute to them for that. We were definitely inspired by that movement, and we also were definitely inspired by the brothers in Alabama, the Free Alabama Movement. Definitely wanted to show that solidarity and definitely wanted to show that connection. We're still motivated and inspired by the brothers in Alabama with the work, the tremendous and great work that they're doing out there.
Okay. My next question is, I understand that Mama Ifeah and Garza has a connection with y'all. What is her relationship with the Free South Carolina Movement?
Yes, she's our mother, our grandmother, our auntie, our elder, our leader, our inspiration, our motivation, our teacher, our nurturer. She's everything to all of us here in the state of South Carolina.
No doubt. Well, you know, I want to open the line for a few calls. Let them ask a couple of questions as well, right? So at this time, I'm about to open the line for a few callers. If you have any questions, comments, statements, or announcements, please press 1. I'm about to up your line up. If you have any question, comment, or statement for our guests, I press 1. I open your line up at this time. You have any question, comment, or statement for the guests? I open your line up at this time. Yeah. Hold on. Can anyone hear me? Okay. I got a caller. 901-292. If you have any question, comment, statement, please do so at this time. Your line is open. 901-292. Go ahead.
Free the land, comrades.
Body me necessary. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mama.
I'm greeting the brothers as well. This is Mama Ayo from the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. I just wanted to, you know, to send revolutionary greetings to the brothers, and we can dialogue for a few questions, please.
Free the land.
How you doing? We're out here facing the same struggle, you know. That's why I wanted to talk to you, brothers, and congratulate you and to send you the strength and the power and the will of what we're going through and what we know that you're going through. So we just want you to hold the line.
I will, Mama Ayo.
Yes, absolutely.
Respect, without a doubt. Respect.
Brothers, you know, we're in the rebuild PGRNA due to the very reasons that you cited earlier. You talked about, you know, having strategies placed against you to kind of destabilize what you're doing, you know, to kind of make it a little bit more difficult. Well, we know that the same thing is we're facing in the government. So we appreciate that you still remain in work, study, and training, and, you know, just making sure that we become our best selves, since you've read all, you know, you've read some founding documents to actually bring you into the movement. So my question is, do you feel that it's necessary for the units outside from behind the walls to implement work, study, and training?
Definitely. I think that's necessary. You know, we're working, you know, that's working is a part of the education phase. Studying is definitely, you know, mandatory, and training, you know, all of it goes hand in hand, and it's definitely necessary when it comes to revolution.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And that's the phase that we're trying. That's the phase that we're trying to implement in this present administration, because we're trying to be guided by the Code of Emoji and all the other founding documents, and we have found that a lot of New African citizens, New African positions of responsibility, we were at uneven development. So that's why we asked, you know, everyone, all conscious citizen workers, to implement this, to implement the science. We got to implement certain strategies in order to rebuild and fortify ourselves. So my next question is, you have managed to, together with all the organizations, all the brothers behind the wall, which is perfect. It's perfect, and it's so needed, because I agree with your statements, brother, when you say that either you there are only two positions that you take. Either you're working for the state, or you're going to be working for your people. And right now, comrade brothers, it is critical that we, all the organizations, join together to be a part of the New African Liberation Movement, because we have identified our territory. And in the community right now, we don't have those cooperations. So I'm pleading with you to talk to the leadership of the various organizations. We must be protected. The women are out here defenseless. There are no defenders and protectors. There are some. I can't, you know, I'm not saying 100%, but I'm saying right here where we are. I'm giving that analysis. If you could comment on it, please.
Mama, all three of y'all lines are open too as well. So all y'all can come. All three of y'all lines still open. Yeah.
You said come here to kill me. Definitely, sister. We understand wholeheartedly what you're saying. We need all of our soldiers. We need all of our warriors. Our warriors in training to have the same overall objective, which is the ultimate liberation of our people, the protection of our babies, our women, our children, and our spaces that we consider to be our communities, our safe zones, our land, our resources, our businesses. All of those things must be protected, and we need all boots on the ground. We need all hands on deck. So we cannot fight an enemy that is a system of white supremacy, racism, white privilege, and white domination if we are still confused about who the enemy is, if we are still at war with one another. That will serve as a distraction, and we will not be able to achieve the type of victory that we need to ensure our future survival as a people. So definitely the objective is and has always been that we strive to eliminate hostilities. That one of our greatest struggles is that it seems to be difficult for us to work together as a people, as a group, but we have various other different groups working together against us to keep us in the position that we're in. So it is a strenuous task striving to awaken brothers that are supposed to already be conscious, brothers that are supposed to have already taken the pledge to be liberators. And it shouldn't be, because if you attach yourself to a street-based organization and saying that this is your politics, you've made the conscious decision to sign up for this. And we know and understand that a person may not go into or join something knowing everything about what it is that you're joining. But at that point that you do so, and now it becomes your duty to begin to learn everything that it is about this movement, about this organization, so that you can be the best example of it and it of you. I mean, so definitely, each and every day, that's the duty. I mean, that's the objective. That's the goal, is to politicize, is to awaken our brothers, our warriors in training, and making sure that they're still in alignment with the ultimate objective. And the strategy, the tactic, the method may be different, but as long as the overall objective is the same, then we will achieve the victory. Respect.
That is it. That is it.
Yes, and I want to add on, make no mistake about it, of course, the black woman is our most sacred and precious element in this universe, and the black woman has been and continues to be our greatest warriors in this struggle. A lot of the things that we have done, doing, and will continue to be able to do is solely because of the strength of our black women. Black women go through the most when the men are captured and incarcerated, and throughout the situation, we have witnessed the black women showing the most strength and the most fortitude in doing whatever it takes, whether it be visits, whether it be going from point A to point B, whether it be attending rallies, organizing, you name it. Make no mistakes about it. the black woman definitely have been the greatest warriors in our struggle for freedom.
Thank you, brother. Asante Sana. And that, of course, brings us to the part where I'm a part of the Ministry of Health and Society, and it is critical, and we are working, and a lot of brothers and sisters on this level are working to detox the mindsets, our indoctrination patterns, our family, ancestral energies that have been, you know, sent down through us, and shaking off that social manipulation that you have to love self before you can love anybody else. You have to have that selfless love, you know, that the creed talks about. Just making sure I love my brothers and sisters as I love myself. And because we are in a constant state of reviving our self-love, our heart chakras have not been opened. They're hurt. They've been damaged. So we have to work on that so that we can be of service to one another. We don't even, you know, how black people are. African people have an energy because we have our melanin, and that melanin is not vibrating on the highest level so that we can lift up out of our conditions, we can love and be able to work unconditionally. Do you find that kind of thing behind the walls as well, that self-love is not there no more?
Definitely as the generations change, is a lot that goes into that. You have the cultural shifts from generation to generation. There's a much younger generation, you know, being incarcerated now. And it's sad to say that in the age of information, where information is so accessible, they seem to, you know, lack a lot of the information and knowledge the most. But we know that's, you know, due to various reasons. You know, they're using experimental drugs. You know, telling them they need a pill for this or they need a pill for that. That affects their emotion, affects their behaviors, affects their thinking, which ultimately affects the self-love aspect. Being miseducated and then being fed even more disastrous elements, through whether it be pop culture, which is a real big one. Pop culture is a real big one. That's you know, pop culture nowadays is worse than crack. That affects the self-love aspect as well. So, yes, we definitely see it, and it definitely makes us have to work even harder to in order to educate, to liberate.
That's correct. Thank you, brothers. Well, we're going to be in South Carolina. This will be the first time that the provisional government will be in South Carolina, Charleston, for the 55th anniversary of the nation's founding. So I hope you brothers get a little bit more information, and you will keep in touch with us. We are appreciative. We're appreciative, and we are definitely working with Mama Athea, you know, to put some things on the ground. The Republic of New Africa is getting ready to, of course, hold a plebiscite. So I want you brothers to be involved, and we are going to have elections this year. So please keep in touch with us through Comrade Bomani, and I'll get your numbers or your email addresses so so that we can keep you abreast of what is going on. Thank you, brothers, and like I said, a much revolutionary love and respect to you.
I got another call if I open the line up. 704-369, you have a question, comment, state, please do so at your time. 704-369, your line is up, go ahead.
Free to land, everyone. Grand Rising, everyone. This is Aida Weddle. I go by the name of Queen Aida. I met Comrade in 2019, Comrade Mungo. He gave me the name Queen Aida. So I just want to start off by saying I'm honored to be here tonight. I've always talked to Comrade Mungo about getting the getting back involved in the movement. And it's just a pleasure. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you good. Okay. So it's good to hear you. Good to hear you.
Awesome,
I know exactly
awesome.
Where you are.
So I grew up in Chesterfield County, and that's where Comrade Mungo met a friend of mine by the name of Kuji Chagalia. And he introduced me to the Free Conscience Call again back in 2019. There I participated every week, you know, just gathering with the different comrades and brothers and sisters that were on the line. And, you know, we were just kind of building a nation from there. But what I like to say about the movement is how you guys are coming together in unity. And just like as the other comrade spoke about, he said that there were other small groups working together against you guys, or against us, as I should say. But yet we still find strength and we still find the faith to come together and unify. And, you know, not even being religious, because I'm not a religious person, more spiritual, but I have to convert back to the scripture when it says, in unity there's strength. And I find a lot of strength in this movement. I just want you guys to know that I'm here to help. Whatever you, I can do to assist, whatever you need me to do. I like to honor the mother that spoke before me. I didn't catch her name, but I love what she said about the heart chakra and how it needs to be open. You know, I'm a firm believer of healing, and we talk a lot. I'm sorry, you guys. Give me a second. Drink some water. Okay, sorry about that. I'm a firm believer of healing, and I know that we spoke during the conference call of different seasons or whatever. We talked a great deal about the oppressors, and we talked a great deal of how we're being oppressed, we're being judged, and, you know, a lot of the black-on-black violence and just, you know, the shortage of good men, good women out here, a multitude of things. And I just want to say, referring back to that, we have to know and have to learn how to press forward and push through this. And the only way we're going to get through the struggles that we're going through every day is we learn how to heal. If we can heal and get past the pain and get past the hurt, and a lot of us have come to face value that a lot of us don't know how to heal. We may say that we need healing, or we may say that we want to heal, But in all actuality, do we really, really know how to heal? And again, as the sister spoke before about the heart chakra, before we can get to that heart chakra, we got to get to the root chakra. That's the first one. We have to get to the root of things. So, again, I don't want to blab off. I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm here for you, and I'm enjoying the movement thus far, and I hope we keep it going. I hope that we keep hope alive. We got to keep hope alive. We got to keep fighting. We just got to keep hope alive because at the end of the day, that's all we have. We have each other, and we must think positive. Ayibobo Ashe.
Okay.
Appreciate it. You know, we got a couple of minutes, left. Give me your final thought and start at Mungo. Give me y'all final thought, which I'm gonna leave it with.
Okay. I want to read a quote as a final thought by John Henry Clark.
Okay, go ahead. My guy.
Powerful people. Say it again.
I said, that's my guy. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Powerful people never educate the victims of their power in how to take their power away from them. The ideology of our former slave masters cannot save us. We will not be truly liberated until we are the main instruments of our liberation. The liberation that I am mainly concerned with here is the liberation of our minds from being dependent on other people to do our thinking. And for that reason, I continue to work, I continue to study, I continue to train, I continue to share the information that I obtained with different brothers around me, all throughout my contacts. You know, for that reason, I dedicate my life to rebuilding the nation. I heal.
Okay. Amen. Makila, y'all give y'all final thought too as well, man. Give y'all final thought, which I don't leave as well.
Go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead.
Comrade Achilles, it's a protracted struggle. And as long as each and every day we wake up with the mind frame, the mindset to transform the criminal mentality into a revolutionary mentality, as long as we continue to strive to incorporate some type of liberating act throughout the course of our day, whether it's giving the brother a book, whether it's listening to someone's story, or whether it's strive to have some type of constructive impact within someone's life, not knowing that a conversation can change someone's mind frame, it can change someone's life. And now they can continue that same process to awaken, to free the mind. I mean, the mind is the first battle of conflict. So I tell brothers all the time, it's not just how good you can fight physically. It's about how good you can think. How good can you fight mentally? Because each and every day, it's a war that is being waged upon our mind as a people. I mean, so just having that mind frame each and every day and knowing and understanding that, you know, like the sister was saying, I mean, we are people who have been traumatized. We are people who have been a war has been waged upon us for going on 500 years, being over here in the wilderness in North America. So the most thing is to have patience with our brothers and sisters, because, like the sister was saying, we develop, some of us have developed unevenly. We're not all at the same level of development. So we have to have patience with our brothers and sisters, and we definitely have to have love for our brothers and sisters and for self in order to continue to do the work. Peace and respect.
Yes, sir. Ashe, just want to send love to all the brothers and sisters, comrades here in the state of South Carolina, those in the so-called free cipher, those in the interior cipher, still moving, still doing the work, those that are constantly striving for betterment, even in their daily lives, you know, for basic necessities, you know, surviving, thriving, maintaining, and elevating our society and behind the walls. Just want to send a lot of love, support, inspiration to all of them, and to everyone that has supported us, organized with us, worked with us, and lended their assistance to us in any and every type of way. Just want to send a lot of love and support. And we definitely, the struggle definitely continues. Revolutionaries never quit. So, you know, as long as we're breathing, we'll continue to fight the good fight. Also, before I go, I want to give a rest in peace, rest in power, salute, and shout out to one of our great brothers who has transitioned into the realm of the ancestors. We're coming up on a year of his transition, Brother Asafo Shaka Seko. He was there with us in the beginning, you know, on that very day, August 21st, 2018, of the official launch of the Free South Carolina Movement. He was there that day at the governor's office, lending his energy. You know, over the years, doing the very same thing. His name is Asafo Shaka Seko. He's an author. He's written books. He got children's books. His Facebook page is still active. So if you go to Asafo Shaka Seko, you can go to his publications website, purchase the books. Those purchases would definitely help his little son that he left behind, and his wife. Definitely want to end the call by, calling into the realm of the ancestors, giving a point to Tambico for the brother Asafo. Ashe.
Ashe.
Okay.
Ashe.
Again, I want to thank Mungu. I want to thank Akili. And like, even thank our brother for coming on, sharing not understanding. Thank our brother for the commitment y'all have toward the movement. Thank you for everything you did, past, present, and the future. And if anyone got any loved one associates behind enemy lines, if you can look at the Georgia University, you can find us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can contact directly through our email, which is georgia71@gmail.com. Again, it's georgia71@gmail.com. I'll also be on the lookout for our new website that we're working on, so you can keep abreast of what we got going on and what is our new activities. I'm going to say long live the resistance, long live the African independent movement, long live the guerrilla, struggle for freedom of land. Free the land. Peace.
By any means necessary.
Peace.